Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Happy Friday. It is Friday, June 29th. The weekend is here. For those of you that work a traditional Monday through Friday like me, it definitely is nice to have a few days off to relax. And for me, it's mostly going to be working out, watching tape, and going to a concert. So with that being said, just so you guys know, what the schedule looks like now for the show. The show is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Starting this Monday, I'm going to have the same release time every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's going to be 8 a.m. Pacific time and 11 a.m. Eastern time. So you guys will have a consistent time that the show comes out. So again, it is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Monday right now, I am doing my Hall of Fame series, where I'm going position by position each week and discussing which players right now which players at that position are locks for the Hall of Fame and the ones that are not, that are really close, what do they need to do to get there. On Wednesday, I'm going through my series of 30 best players in the NFL. The way I evaluate that list is two criteria. They've given me one full season of a body of work to prove themselves, and it's also based on how good they are right now, not necessarily how good and how long their career has been, but how good they are right now. And Friday, I answer your guys' questions. So every Friday, and today is Friday, hallelujah again, you guys send me questions during the week. Again, if you guys do not know my email, I always give it out. It is stevethescout81@gmail.com. That is where all the questions go to. And each week I'll either pick five questions or I will pick one question and talk about it for an entire show like I did last week. Last week I simply talked about the entire episode. You know, is Tom Brady a systems quarterback? And, you know, would he have had the same success without Bill Belichick? So just to kind of give you guys a teaser of, you know, what we're going to talk about today and some of the questions I'm going to be answering, there's some good ones today. So I'm going to let you know these in advance. So my father, Ted Fishkin, the guy that's the most important man in my life, always has been. He listens to every episode, so he did want to ask me a question of his own. So, you know, to honor my dad, that'll be the first question that I answer. My dad, like myself, we're both big Giants fans, and he asked the question, who is the more dominant or who's the better defensive player, Lawrence Taylor or J.J. Watt? So, Dad, do you have an answer for you on that? We also have Rabani in Phoenix that he asked about running backs. And his question was, outside of having a great O-line and naturally good skills, what else is going to make a running back really good? So I'm going to answer that. The third question I'm going to answer is from Ken Cunningham. Ken had asked me about Dak Prescott. He wanted to know, why was Dak Prescott not in my list of top 10 projected quarterbacks over the next 10 years. So, Ken, I will answer your question. Robert Fitzgerald, you know, wanted to know if I'll be talking about more fantasy football stuff coming up. So I'm going to address his question on that. And Michael D'Antonio asked me, you know, what is a team going into the 2018 season that people aren't talking about that is very underrated? So, Michael, I do have an answer for you on that, and it's probably a team that most people are not thinking of. So, yes, thank you to my father, Rabani from Phoenix. We have Ken Cunningham, Robert Fitzgerald, and Michael D'Antonio for your questions. Going to start off by answering my dad's question. You know, J.J. Watt or Lawrence Taylor. Look, there are a lot of people that are already talking about J.J. Watt as possibly, you know, being on his way to being the best defensive player ever. And at this point, if you ask most football fans or scouts or experts or coaches, who's the best defensive player ever? Most of them are probably going to say Lawrence Taylor. However, you know, with J.J. Watt, his level of disruption since coming into the NFL has been absolutely ridiculous. And the pace that he's on, if he continues to play at this pace, yes, you know, he's going to have a case for arguing that he should be at the top of the throne instead of Lawrence Taylor when you're trying to single out and say who is the most dominant defensive player ever. So, you know, let's just look at a few things here. So, you know, in terms of Lawrence Taylor, one thing that, you know, I wouldn't say he's better at, but he just does it faster. Lawrence Taylor gets into your backfield, to me, a lot faster than J.J. Watt. Now, it's different because J.J. Watt is playing as a 3-4 defensive end. Lawrence Taylor's playing, you know, as a linebacker. But the initial get off and explosion, I am going to give that to Lawrence Taylor. Taylor definitely got in the backfield faster. Lawrence Taylor also played in a running back era. So what that means is that he did not get as many chances to rush the passer as he would have had today. When I saw, you know, talking about both of them against the run, J.J. Watt is one of the best defensive ends I've ever seen against the run. Lawrence Taylor is one of the best outside linebackers I've ever seen against the run. But, you know, in terms of which one is better against the run, I would give that edge to Lawrence Taylor. And again, you know, he played an era where he had more opportunities to go after the running back, and he's played a different position, so it's not entirely comparable. Now here's where J.J. Watt, a good argument for J.J. Watt can come in, is that, you know, you can say that J.J. Watt and Lawrence Taylor are about equally disruptive. The difference is that it's much harder for J.J. Watt to be disruptive from the 3-4 defensive end position than it was for Lawrence Taylor, you know, to be doing it from the outside quarterback. The position itself, it's not as conducive to be disruptive, you know. And when you look at that, you have to give J.J. Watt at least some credit there, because doing it from a 3-4 defensive end and being that disruptive is extremely hard to do. Now, in terms of really answering the question, you know, which one is the better player? I think that J.J. Watt is going to need to play longer to prove that he really is on Lawrence Taylor's level. And here's something that I'll tell you that I think is a little bit different. If you can't block J.J. Watt, you can still beat the Houston Texans. And we've seen J.J. Watt have some huge games, and the Texans, you know, still managed to lose the game. In the 80s, if you could not block Lawrence Taylor, and I will say Lawrence Taylor is harder to block than J.J. Watt. Hear me. Lawrence Taylor is harder to block than J.J. Watt. If you could not block Lawrence Taylor, you were not going to win the game. And I believe that there is a difference. The other difference maker is the mind factor. Lawrence Taylor, look, people are afraid to play against J.J. Watt, but pretty much when you're playing against Lawrence Taylor, there is a different level of fear that I believe that quarterback has and that running back has and whoever's going to try to block him. Also, I believe that in terms of being able to rally guys around him and I wouldn't say necessarily a better leader, but a guy that will get the guys around him riled up, Lawrence Taylor definitely has that advantage where I think he does make the players around him, I wouldn't say better, but, you know, he has made the players around him play more aggressive. So because Lawrence Taylor, I believe, can get into the backfield better, he's better against the run, and the fear factor and the fact that if you can't block him, you can't beat him. I am going to give the edge to Lawrence Taylor. J.J. Watt, just at this point, you know, he is rivaling Reggie White to be looked at as the best defensive end ever. But even to do that, he's going to need to continue to play longer. I'm excited to see what J.J. does coming back this year. You know, he's really had a couple down years just in terms of not being able to play a full season. But I do believe that J.J. Watt, when it's all said and done, he's going to be looked at as one of the best players ever. But right now, that throne still belongs to number 56, Lawrence Taylor. All right, so the next question is from Rabani in Phoenix. He was asking me, running backs, outside of skill sets and having a great offensive line, what's going to make a running back good? And when he says skill sets, I think that he's referring to, breakaway speed, lateral movement, one cut ability, certain things that no matter how hard you work, they are God gifted skills that are going to make you a better running back than someone else. So, outside of those God given skills, you know, what are the things that truly make a running back good? And, I will say this is what it comes down to, and I'll break each one down. It's vision, but it's also the use of the vision. It's patience. And it's also the mind, meaning how do you practice and study? And it's also the ability to avoid injury because, you know, a running back, you know, a great example, Giovanni Bernard, you know, Clinton Portis, these guys took a lot of direct hits and they were not able to play for a long period of time. A running back who takes a lot of direct hits, it's going to shorten his career and especially shorten how long he can be good for. Now, going back to all those points, Rabani, looking at the use of vision, what I like to see really is a guy that can run between the tackles on the first level and has great second level vision, because I believe that is something that is a learned trait. It is something that you can develop and get better at, but it is going to take some work. What I like to see in terms of vision as well is quick thinking and the ability to change direction and change course as need be. Yes, you can say LeSean McCoy and Todd Gurley are physically gifted running backs, but what they are two of the very best at is if something else opens up, it's almost like they just anticipate what is going to open up and where, and they're making that adjustment really quickly. So I like to see a guy that you know can change angles and can make adjustments based on what's going on in the play and also anticipate it. Again, first and second level vision, that is something that I believe, you know, can be coached. The other thing that I mentioned is going to be patience. Yes, I believe to be at least somewhat of a patient running back, you need to have a decent offensive line. But some of the traits that I like to see from running backs more than anything else is a guy that's not necessarily going to take the first hole he sees, but you know, he will be patient and wait for something to open up. A guy that's great at doing that is Le'Veon Bell. Go back and watch him. If you watch Le'Veon Bell and you watch Todd Gurley, you're going to see Le'Veon Bell is a more patient runner. Todd Gurley's more explosive. Le'Veon Bell is more patient. And again, the mind is important, you know, being able to study for the game. Look, we've seen running backs be dominant from year one, but there are some running backs that it will take them some time because there are a lot of responsibilities and things to pick up and picking up blitzes, responsibilities at the running back position that people, you know, watching everyday football don't think and know about. So yes, a running back is a position that, yes, you know, it can take some time for that guy to develop. So being able to study, what that's going to do is that's also going to help make your vision better. And the things I talked about, vision and patience, that will help improve on that as well. And to really have an idea of what that defense is doing. So I believe those are the things that will help a running back
that are not necessarily skill oriented. The other thing that I like to see is a guy that, like I said, he doesn't take a lot of direct hits. Giovanni Bernard, Clinton Portis, they were great, and so are a lot of other running backs. But if you take too many direct hits, you're only going to be productive for so many years. And I like to see a running back who is not taking so many direct hits early in his career, so I know that he can be good, for an extended period of time. Thank you, Rabani, for your question. On to the next one. All right, answering Ken Cunningham's question. He was asking, why did I not make Dak Prescott one of my projected 10 best quarterbacks of the next 10 years? Look, just because I'm not putting him in that list doesn't mean that I don't think he's a good quarterback. I think Dak Prescott is a very good young quarterback. People don't want to realize that, it was not just him that was having issues last year. It was really the entire Cowboys offense. Their offense, they had issues at left guard, at right tackle. So everyone wants to talk about how great their O-line was. It was not nearly as good as it was the year before. They were playing better defenses last year than they were playing the year before. When you also look at Dak, because he accomplished so much in year one, they put a lot more on his plate in year two, and he had to play a number of these games without Zeke, and with an offensive line that was not as good as what he had initially. And to be honest, Dez really, he can box guys out, but he does not get the same separation that he used to. And Jason Witten, yeah, he's a good tight end, but he's not Travis Kelce. He was not Travis Kelce the last year of his career. So look, you got to realize that, he's not working with as much as you think. I think this year, having Zeke back, having Alan Hearns there, I like that they drafted Dalton Schultz. To me, he looks like a young Jason Witten. They can be better this year, but Dak's supporting cast was not as good as what people think. Now, the reason that I don't place him as high as these other quarterbacks is, look, I think Dak is great at stepping up in the pocket, having good pocket awareness. But I see him being able to drive the ball in tight windows. But the guys that I put on that list, I believe, are better at driving the ball into tight windows. Dak has good placement, but his placement is not as consistent as the other 10 guys I put on that list. Also, Dak is mobile, but, I'd like to see him improve his accuracy while he's on the run. But look, Dak is a guy that's growing, and I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. They keep putting pieces around him. This is still a guy that can be your franchise quarterback. It was a tough list to make. If I made maybe a top 15 list, then yeah, I would have put Dak on there. But Ken, I appreciate the question, and hope you have a great weekend and are enjoying the podcast.
And the next one is from Robert Fitzgerald. Robert, I know your email was not really just a question. It was kind of a whole paragraph or a couple paragraphs of stuff. I appreciate it, and actually I will respond to you. But I did want at least, I thought you had an interesting thing to mention that I thought I should talk about more. And that really is, how I'm going to discuss or if I'm going to discuss fantasy football on the show. So I have done a few fantasy football shows so far. I've done one on rookie sleepers, and I think I just did one on sleepers in general. I have to go back and check. So I'll say that, I'm going to give you a few episodes every now and then, on fantasy football. It's certainly not going to be one of the main things, that I focus on, but look, it's so popular, and yes, fantasy football and knowing who's going to be good at fantasy, there's an element of scouting to that. So I'm definitely happy to talk about it, on occasional shows. So, definitely as the season gets closer and as fantasy drafts are coming up, I definitely will put out some more episodes of that.
Can't always see it. It will probably won't be a big focus really throughout the season, but definitely something that I will release some future episodes on. So thank you, Robert, for your question. Hope you are enjoying the show and you have a great weekend.
All right, and the last question is from Michael D'Antonio. Michael, you had asked me a team that is underrated going into this year, and I have an answer for you. And I'm going to say this is a team that has an up and coming defense that a lot of people are not realizing this could be one of the next really great defenses in the NFL. Not saying all-time great defense, but great defense in terms of being a modern day, comparing it to the modern day defenses. And that team is the Los Angeles Chargers. Let's just talk about what they have up front on the defensive line. They have a top defensive tackle in Corey Legit. They still have Brandon Mebane in there who can take up space. Yeah, he's older, but on opposite ends you got Melvin Ingram and you got Joey Bosa, arguably the best pass rush duo in the NFL right now. This past year, I thought Casey Hayward was arguably the best cornerback in the NFL. On my top list of 30 players, top 30 players in the NFL, he's probably the one guy that most people have not heard of, but I ranked him 23 on my list. On the other side, you have Jason Verrett, who's a solid corner. And when you look at the Chargers last year on defense, they were third against the pass, but they were 31st against run defense. So what did they do? They got in the first round and the second round two guys that I believe can come in right away and can change their run defense. In the first round, they got Derwin James, who I ranked as the best defensive player in the draft. Derwin James, his versatility, he can play strong safety, free safety, cornerback, middle linebacker, and outside linebacker. With that for and he is a hard hitter. He reminds me of a mix of Cam Chancellor and Jalen Ramsey. If I had a you know if they if they ha if men could have babies together and that was their baby, it would be this guy. And when I look at Derwin James, he's going to immediately come in there and make their running game better. Now they got a guy in the second round, a linebacker who I think is a very underrated linebacker, and he has great versatility, great leadership skills, and a guy that can come in and help the Chargers run defense right away, even though he's a rookie. It's from USC. In the second round, they got Uchenna Nwosu. When I went back today, I actually went back today, and I will admit that I watched some tape on him before, but going back today, I probably should have watched a little more. This guy's versatility is really, really impressive. I think he can come in and help their running game right away. So with the Chargers, their defense was good last year. It was great against the pass. Now I think it can be really good against the run, which is going to also make their pass defense better. I also like that. I do believe Melvin Gordon, is a guy that has consistently, gotten better and shown that he can improve. Phillip Rivers can still play. Keenan Allen, is one of the best receivers in the game. So people are not talking about the Chargers. They're talking about the other team in Los Angeles, but I think the Chargers could be a big sleeper, and I do see them getting to the playoffs in 2018. All right, guys. Well, that answers all five questions from today's show. My email again, if when you guys have questions, send them my way. I will do my best to answer them on Friday. It is stevethescout81@gmail.com. Again, stevethescout81@gmail.com. To give you guys a sneak peek of this week's episodes, again, this week, episodes will be released specifically at 8 Pacific time, 11 Eastern time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday, I'm going to be doing my Hall of Fame edition, and I'm going to be giving you wide receivers playing today that are locks for the Hall of Fame and guys that are not locks and what they need to do to get there, guys that are close. On Wednesday, I am going to finish my list of best players in the NFL. I'm going to give you the 10 best players in the NFL this Wednesday. If you have not listened to my past two episodes, which have given you players 30 through 11, go back and listen to that. And then, you know, this week you'll hear 10 through 1. And on Friday, I answer your guys' questions again. And again, that email, stevethescout81@gmail.com. Thank you guys for your questions. You guys have an awesome weekend. We'll talk to you next week.